Good morning, everybody. Adding my welcome to those that have already come to you. Also welcoming everybody listening online this week, this month, whenever. And also welcoming those in the foyer who I can't see, but I just want to let you know there's a connection there. So, the last of our series looking at some of the I Am's of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our last one this morning is Jesus saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So we're going to be looking at that. In particular, looking at Jesus as the Omega, as the last, as the end. So we're going to look a little at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming back. And our word this morning is to bring confidence and have us be ready and to help us in these days ahead. So really you could make a sermon just speaking three or four lines from each of those. It is an incredible sight, really. And when I was looking at that as preparing, a verse dropped into me, and it was this. In view of those words, no one ever spoke the way this man spoke. That was what is said, that was said of him, and is still said now. His words are absolutely, totally unique. And he's not in the past. His words are eternal. His words are now and always will be. And he says, doesn't he? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What a thing to say. Who can ever say that? And I appreciate that perhaps most of us here this morning know the Lord and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time or a short time, but nevertheless, you have challenges, you're needing answers, you're needing help. And, or perhaps there's some listening and you don't know the Lord at all, or hardly at all. And this is an invitation this morning to listen to the words of Jesus, because we've all got that cry in our heart. You know, what is this life about? Why am I here? What's going to be happening? What does the future hold? Perhaps some are saying, why am I anxious? Why am I afraid? And the whole purpose of this word is to bring confidence and help into our lives. And you might say, well, who's Jesus speaking to? And Psalm 19 says, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In other words, from one end of the universe to the other, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to your heart. He knows you, as what Pete read earlier. And our word, the Alpha and the Omega, this morning is from the book of Revelation. And I appreciate that some people say, I'm just going to leave the book of Revelation. It's all in code. Nobody can understand it. I'll just stick with the Gospels. I'll just stick with the Psalms and leave that for somebody else. But actually, the third verse on chapter 1 of Revelation says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. So if we read and if we hear, we are blessed. That's what the Lord says. So here's our two scriptures. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So this is Father God speaking here. But we have in Revelation 22, Jesus saying the same thing. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And of course, there's no contradiction at all there. The Father and the Son share the same titles. They're the same in power, nature, and authority. The Bible talks about the Godhead. So this is Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I'm just going to read six more verses from Revelation. I've purposely not put them on the screen. They are just so magnificent that just before I read them, Rose reminded us this week. Years ago, we went to see a play at the King's Theatre in Southsea. And we were sat there and the house lights were on. And then, you know, everyone was chatting. Then the lights started going down. And gradually the chat went down and it was pitch black. You couldn't hear a sound. You couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, up came the curtain and there was this gasp and there was a round of applause. You normally get the applause at the end. There was nobody there. There was no music. There was not a sound. It was just the sight of this set was so well done. It was just of a room with a balcony and these French doors, and the doors were open and you could see through the doors and you could hear the sound of the sea and seagulls and you could hear the wind. And then gradually people came on and on went with the play. But the reason for telling that is that that brought a round of applause. Can we imagine, in view of what I'm just going to read, can we imagine the response when the Lord Jesus comes? You know, we sung it this morning, when Christ shall come, with shouts of acclamation. And this is a reading of the resurrected heavenly Lord Jesus. And just before I read it as well, just say, the writer of Revelation was a man called John, and he was put on the island of Patmos, which is where they sent Christians who would not deny the Lord. And they were suffering and tortured terribly. But this day, John was in the Spirit, he was in prayer, and it says he heard a voice behind him. And so I'm just going to read it now and just let the Holy Spirit, let these words enter into our very being. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. We'll come back to those in a second. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid." Thank goodness. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for ever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And in this reading, Jesus is presented as the total victor. The overwhelming victory of Jesus is displayed. He's defeated sin, he's defeated death, he's defeated hell, he's defeated the devil himself. And the reason he did that was for you, for each and every one of us. We had a relationship with God that was broken, and Jesus wanted it mended, and he was prepared to go through those things for each and every one of us. What a wonderful, fantastic thing. I've had my own experiences with Jesus, as you have. I've never seen him like that. A friend was telling me about someone he knew who had an experience like that. And every one of those words is there for a reason, because they said that out of Jesus himself was emanating not just light, but love itself. Even the thing that he remembers, even from his feet, love was emanating. And this is the Jesus that we are going to see. We are going to meet this resurrected Jesus. We are going to see him face to face. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, I'm going to put four images on the screen now, and there's a common link between them, and if anyone can say what they are, you can shout out. That is in Pyongyang, North Korea. That's in Barcelona. That's in Dubai. Has anybody got the link? Maybe this one. This is the National Monument of Scotland. They are all buildings and projects that have been started and have never been completed. Those pictures you saw, they're just the shell. That one in North Korea, it's called the Temple of Doom. And they've not just been there for a few years, they've been empty for decades. And the one in Barcelona, I think it's over a century. I think they're due to complete it soon. So the reason for saying that, thinking of the Alpha and Omega, I don't know about you, have you ever noticed in life that sometimes it's easier to start something than it is to finish it? You know, sometimes we get halfway through or near the end and we start flagging. And as I was thinking about this, I was in my office at home and I just happened to notice my in and out trays. And especially the second pile down, they're all things that have been started, but they really should not be there. But there we are. How about you? And our scriptures, the Alpha and the Omega, talk about something absolutely unbelievable. The biggest endeavour or undertaking there ever has been. Us lot, the human race. And Jesus is saying, as the Alpha and the Omega, that he was present before it all began, and he'll be there right at the end, and everything in between. And he's not just a spectator with everything in between. He's actively involved. Actively involved in your life, in my life. So he's planned everything in love. And the incredible thing is, he knew about us even before he created the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus has planned all of this. So the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus, over 1,000 times in the Old Testament, over 300 times in the New. The last verse of Hebrews chapter 9 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are we waiting for him? And again, like with the book of Revelation, people say, we don't really need to bother about these things. What we just need to, everything's going to be okay. Just live for to now. Besides, if you look at the second coming, there's some things about it that are not pleasant. There are some things that are distressing. And there's some things that are downright confusing. And whilst that may be an understandable thought, the Bible constantly tells us of Jesus' return as a motivation to live now, to live holy lives, to be ready for him. In Titus chapter 2 it says, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In 1 John 3 it says, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. So the Bible is telling us to look forward to his coming, not as a means of satisfying our curiosity about the future, but as a motivation for holy living. And the Lord, he does speak about signs. He tells us not to look for dates or particularly to the clouds, but for the signs. And the Lord Jesus says to us to be ready. And one thing he lovingly and firmly says, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Are we watching? Are we watching? And what are we watching for? He tells us to watch for signs. He tells us to watch for signs. And he likens these signs to birth pangs, not death pangs. Because something's going to be born. The kingdom of God is going to be born. There's going to be a transition of this world. This world that we're in, with its unrighteousness, with its injustice, with the wars, with the famines, this is all going to pass away. And it's going to transition into the kingdom of our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the government is going to be upon his shoulders. And for each one of us here, there's an invitation. We can live in that place of new birth. As long as, Jesus says, we ourselves have received a new birth. Jesus says that nobody can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. And if that's something that's maybe a new thought to you, or something you want to talk about, there'll be an opportunity this morning to just ask about that. To be born from above. So, I'm going to go back now to Revelation chapter 1 and what we read. And it says that when John saw Jesus was stood among lampstands. He wasn't standing among nations or governments. He was standing among lampstands, and they represent the church. Isn't it fantastic that the highest priority of the Lord Jesus is his church? That is you and I. That's where John saw him. He was standing among his church. In Ephesians it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it may seem at times that the gates of hell are prevailing, that they are winning, but that is not the end of the story. And one thing here that I've really noticed, that for John, he had a new revelation of Jesus. He had known Jesus. He's the one who leaned his head on the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper. He was with Jesus on the beach. But this was something he had never, ever seen before. And maybe for each of us this morning, in the situation we're in, maybe there is those testings. Maybe the gates of hell are coming against us. But Jesus wants to bring us a new revelation of himself. And there'll be an opportunity this morning, if that's you, to come forward or stay where you are. You don't have to come forward. You can stay where you are. Somebody will chat with you. I remember in my own life, it did seem at one point as if the gates of hell were prevailing. It seemed like they'd won. King David said, in my distress, in my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. And sometimes when we're having these testings, we can wonder, where are you, Lord? What are you doing? And sometimes it can feel he's not actually there. But he is there. He is always there. And I always remember this day. Jesus gave a new revelation to me, as he will with you. It came at complete cross purposes to what was going on at the time. The same with John, as he was suffering there. He saw the Lord Jesus in his heavenly form as an encouragement, as help, as strength. So ask the Lord Jesus, ask him for that revelation. Ask him for what you need. He loves to be asked. He's a God that loves to give. God so loved the world that he gave. He's a God, he gave his only son. So, and going on from this morning, I would urge you this week to read, not saying the whole book of Revelation, read Revelation chapter 4. It's not very long. In Revelation chapter 4, it goes on from what we've been reading there, and it describes the throne room of the universe. Everything in the universe is commanded from this throne room. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everything, this magnificent sight. Because sometimes we can think, where are you, Lord? It seems like this world's out of control. But when we look at Revelation 4, we will see that the Lord is in complete and utter control. And it shows him there as God, as holy, almighty, eternal. He's the creator of all things. He's in complete and utter charge. So just a couple of the signs that the Lord tells us to look for with his coming. The first sign, and we can't go through them all, they have conferences on these things. The first thing Jesus says is, watch out that you are not deceived. And notice he doesn't say, watch out you are not lied to. Because you can see the lies. You know, deception which there is much around us, it's that subtle mixture, isn't it, of lies and truth. And it's much easier to fall for it. And when I was preparing, thinking about that throne room and being protected about from deception, there's a man called A.W. Tozer. I always remember something he said. We must have the throne room experience. It's absolutely fantastic to come to church. We must do. We must meet with other believers. But we must have that one-to-one with the Lord Jesus himself to get that personal word from him ourselves. It can happen at church, but it's that connection. We can't be Christians and bypass that connection with the Lord God himself. And so another protection for us is to read, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Someone was saying the other day, it's like ballast in a ship. You know, it holds the ship firm. And when the going gets very tough, you know. I was reading as well that the biggest group of Christians on the face of the earth is in China. But you know, it nearly wasn't so. Because a few decades ago, they were taught, don't worry, you're not going to suffer. You won't have to go through persecution. God will take you out of it. You'll be raptured out of it. And of course, when the persecution came, as Jesus says there will come, they weren't ready for it. And thankfully, they jolly well got ready. And they're still the largest church that there are in the world right now. And when I was preparing, a verse came to me that Jesus spoke about. And he said, remember Lot's wife. He was talking about the second coming. In other words, no turning back, no looking back, about pressing on into that which the Lord has for us. In Philippians it says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. Pressing on to him, looking for Jesus Christ. I remember somebody saying to me, we should be looking for Jesus Christ, not so much the Antichrist. And look for Jesus. Look for Jesus Christ. So, as we just come to pray, we'll just pray some of the things that we've spoken about this morning. Every eye will see him. And people say, well, we have the internet now, that's how we'll see him. But I kind of think that when he comes, like that reading, he's going to be so magnificent. He's going to be so powerful. He won't need the internet. It'll be just so wonderful. And it'll be a day of salvation and joy and wonder. And Jesus says that he's, like he said to us, he's going away. He's going to be a long time coming, and he's going to come at a time when we don't expect him. But he tells us to look for the signs. And I wouldn't be preaching properly if I didn't say that this will also be a day of condemnation for those who are not ready, for those who have rejected him. Our reading this morning, if you read before where he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and all peoples on the earth will mourn, even those who pierced him. So shall it be. Come, Lord Jesus. the Lord has given each of us that invitation to be ready for his coming, to stay close to him, to watch for the signs, and not to be put off as things go darker. Because like that play we were talking about, the Lord Jesus says that when he comes back, the world will be a very dark place. In fact, it says that the heavenly bodies will be shaken and there won't be any light. And then like that play that we saw, up will come the curtain and he will appear. And I don't know about you, but just the thought of thanking him and worshipping him. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you've been through. Thank you for everything you've planned in love for each and every one of us. Won't that be our most marvellous thing? Just another sign he tells us to look for just as we come to pray. Watch, he says, watch. In other words, he seems to be saying, use your eyes. Use your eyes as much as your ears, maybe more so. Maybe so much of what we hear might not always be helpful. Watch. And he tells us to watch Jerusalem, to watch for distress there. Because that is where he's coming back. In Acts 1 verse 11, as Jesus is taken up in front of his disciples, the angel says, the way you see him leaving, he is coming back. And the Bible says that his feet are going to touch down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And that's where he's coming back to. He's not coming back to Cardiff or London. It's that verse that we read. It's this hope that purifies us. It encourages us that this is the future for the believer. So shall we pray? So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming back. Thank you, Jesus, that your word talks about the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for everybody listening, Lord, that none would be without that hope. Lord, I just pray for anybody here this morning that does not have hope. Lord God, that you would come, that Lord, that you would minister, that you would bring that help, that you would bring hope, you would bring peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is going to be born. Lord, it's going to be born and it's going to be a wonderful time. Lord, I just pray for anybody here that's confused about what it means to be born again. Lord, I just pray that you would minister as well to each person who that applies to. Lord God, just pray as well for every person here that needs that revelation of you at the moment. They need strength. They're needing help. Lord, show them, each and every one, what they need. Show them, Lord, reveal to them personally what Pete read earlier, that you know them by name. You know everything about them. And you say that you are for each and every one of us. Lord, we do thank you. We praise you. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us to be ready, to be prepared, Lord, to not become drowsy and fall asleep. Lord, have our lamps burning. Lord, strengthen us against the deception that is all around us. Have us live in the truth. Lord, thank you that you are the truth. We thank you, Alpha and Omega, that you're the first and the last. You're the beginning and the end. And that includes each of our lives. Amen.